All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. Tucked into the third floor of Google's behemoth building on 8th Avenue, working away, are the first seven students to ever attend Cornell NYC Tech. You might have heard that Cornell won the $100 million prize in Mayor Bloomberg's contest to create a new tech grad school here. The campus on Roosevelt Island won't be ready until 2017. So Cornell Tech is using this so-called beta semester to figure out how the school will not just teach coding, but also partner with big and established names in tech. Here's WNYC's Dan Tucker.
There's theory and then there's practice. And here at Cornell Tech, it's all about practice. Computer science professor Serge Belangi says that ethos permeates everything at the school, right down to the homework.
Instead of these being academic data sets that are really old and dusty, we get brand new data, really interesting real-world examples, and that makes the homework assignments more relevant to what's happening today.
Belangi teaches a course called Modern Analytics. He says it took a few weeks for the students to adapt to the roadblocks and pratfalls the curriculum puts in their path.
I remember how panicked they were at the start of the semester. The data is so messy, they wanted it to be clean. But we told them that's not how it is.
Students like Andrew Lee say they chose Cornell Tech for precisely that reason.
At least for me, you know, I think people learn better by doing.
One of the school's hallmarks is the Industry Co-op Project. Students work with companies like Bloomberg LP and Qualcomm to create new web services and apps. Lee worked with the crisis response team from Google.org, the search company's philanthropic arm. The goal was to try to predict the severity of upcoming storms using past public alerts from the National Weather Service.
So that was a great experience to apply what we're learning in class.
Lee's classmate and partner on the weather predictor, Alex Kopp, says working with established companies like Google has another perk, too.
Just the amount of connections that I've made this semester and the people that I've met made it all worth my while.
With one semester down, changes are already coming to the graduate program. As part of that, the school is trying to attract more women. This first class is all male. And then there's the issue of growth. Next year's class will have about 20 students. By 2037, when the Roosevelt Island campus is fully complete, there's expected to be around 2,000. For WNYC, I'm Dan Tucker.
NYU was a runner-up in the mayor's tech school competition, and it hasn't wasted time getting started either. The new Center for Urban Science and Progress won't be up to capacity for several years, but CUSP, as it's called, has opened in downtown Brooklyn and is working on its first project. Heading up the school is New Yorker Steve Koonin, who's returned home from serving in the Obama administration. He filled me in on how city life could be improved thanks to data, data, and more data.
So one of the first projects we will work on is noise, in fact. As coming back to New York City myself as an adult about a year ago, I found it a lovely place to live except for the noise.
Like what? What bothers you?
Well, it's that trash truck at 2 in the morning that's outside my window, or the jackhammers that are going at 11 o'clock at night down the street. New York City has a noise code, of course, but it is not enforced as thoroughly or effectively as certainly many residents would like it to be.
Well, that's for sure. My husband and 311 have gotten to know each other very well because of an alarm that keeps going off.
That's right. So one of the things we would like to do is to go out and systematically measure the noise for the first time in different places in the city at different times of day. We can then try to characterize that noise. Is it traffic? Is it wind? Is it HVAC? Is it construction? And then hopefully provide better information to the people who are charged with enforcing the regulations.
Could that literally mean a quieter neighborhood for me?
I think it'll be in a quieter neighborhood, probably more accurate real estate evaluations, which depend upon noise, of course, an investigation of the relationship between noise and health. If you get awakened in the middle of the night often, that's not a very good thing for your health. So I think one sees manifold benefits in just that noise project alone.
5 years from now, can you sort of paint a picture for me of like what a typical day could be like in terms of data collection for this city, and then how that could potentially translate into changing the way it works?
So one would like to see flows on mobility, on transit patterns, on utility use, on noise and environmental variables, on who's at school, who's sick, what are the admissions rates like at the emergency rooms, what are the pollution plumes coming out of the various buildings look like. All of that can then be used to make it easier for you to get around the city. You might learn that there is a traffic jam and be rerouted automatically in one way or the other if you're driving. You might learn where it's better to get one of the rideshare bicycles, for example. You might know that, gosh, I was in the room with somebody yesterday who came down with the flu, and I'd better go take some preventive measures. I might be able to locate the best set of services that I'm looking for by crowdsourcing. All of that sort of thing, one's imagination just runs wild with the possibilities.
And I guess finally I want to ask you, your background, you're a theoretical physicist, right? So what is it about this that sort of connects to what you're into? What turns you on? What, tell me personally.
So I think ever since I was a kid, I was very interested in measuring and understanding things. And as I went through elementary and high school here in New York City, I came to realize that physics was the most fundamental of the sciences that does that. But what I've come to realize in later years is that beyond being a subject, physics is a way of thinking. It's a set of tools. It's about models. It's about reductionism. It's about simplification. And all of these things can be applied to the more complicated problems of society, urban living being one of them.
And is that the reason why you're on this planet?
And I think that is the reason why I'm here, to understand, to simplify, to explain, and then try to optimize things for the people who live in the city.
Steve Koonin, thank you.
Happy to chat.
So welcome to the new era in higher education. How often do universities create completely new schools? Cornell, NYU, and Columbia has one too. It's getting in on the tech action with its Institute for Data Sciences and Engineering. We've got all the details at newtechcity.org. I'm Anoush Samarodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.